We're back with another episode.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed during the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent any specific employer, organization, committee, or other group or individual. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform. This podcast series does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services.
It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off. It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off.
You don't come here for the facts. You come here for the entertainment, okay?
That's if you're here for the facts, you're the wrong
place. Wrong podcast. We are here to entertain you. That's why we give a disclaimer at the beginning of our podcast.
Boom, baby.
We're here to educate and inform with entertainment.
Yeah.
That is it.
Remember I was telling you about that nasty ass patient I had that like was grabbing my butt and being super inappropriate?
Mm-hmm.
He's back. Frequent flyer. CHF, of course.
Wait, are we starting?
Oh, welcome back to another episode of the Face Off Podcast. It's your favorite podcast duo.
Absolutely. We're back again, y'all, in the studio.
In live, in color.
Yes.
Absolutely. In living color.
We'll see how long this lasts. If Alyssa takes another assignment. Welcome back.
I'm like Carmen San Diego, you know?
Where in the world is Alyssa Fowler Face Off? I don't know. Anyway.
Alyssa Fowler Face Off. My government name.
What were you saying?
I'm sorry. I didn't take my meds today. It's gonna be long.
We're back. Alyssa was talking about something. I can't remember what you were talking about, though. I'm sorry. I apologize. I threw you off. You had a patient, something freaking flyer.
Because, okay, you know how I do that? And we're back with another episode. Yeah. Okay, how my voice just does that cartoon character bullshit. So,
damn.
That patient came back who was super inappropriate with me. And they were like, are you okay seeing him again? And I was like, you know what? It's fine because I'm going to go with this other physical therapist. Mm-hmm. She'll be in there with me. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, and you know, and she's real mean, so if anything happens, that's good. And they were like, well, can't you don't think you can be mean or like, you know, just stern with him? And I was like, no, because when I try to do it, my voice just gets really high. And every time I try to lay down the law, I'm like, stop it, cut it out.
People don't believe you, is that it?
Yeah, people
is that
the don't problem? Believe me.
Oh, well,
you know. Believe women, that's what I'm trying to say.
At least try to, anyway.
But anyway, how was your week?
My week was really good. Nothing too crazy, eventful.
That's which good. Great. Good.
Knock on wood, because we'll see what happens today. Anyway, but yeah, just been chilling, working, you know, doing my thing. My thug is out here in these San Antonio streets. I do want to talk about what happened to me on Friday, y'all. So Friday night, I took a nap that turned into a sleep.
Okay.
And I woke up at like 9:30, and I was like, oh crap, I haven't eaten anything. Let me go to Bojangles, because Bojangles is now officially back in San Antonio. Or not. Wait.
I don't think hold it's on. Ever been.
It's not back. They now have Bojangles in San Antonio. Let's try it again.
Never heard of her, but.
So Bojangles, if you don't know what Bojangles is, it's a chicken place, and it's pretty much like a Popeyes, but better. To me, personally, I think it's better. They have better biscuits than Popeyes, and yeah, they're just better. Anyway, so I went there and I ordered like a mac and cheese, a coleslaw, some fries, and the biscuits or whatever. Oof. So when I got my order, typically I always check my order before I leave.
You have to.
I have to, but it was almost 10 o'clock at night. So I was like, crap. And they closed at 10 and they had a long line outside in the parking, the drive-thru. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, run in quick, get my food and leave. So I leave. Once I get to the house, I look at my bag. They've given me like 4 different peach cobbler things and none of the stuff that I ordered. And I'm like,
do you like peach cobbler?
No, I hate peach cobbler.
You hate peach cobbler?
I do, because I don't like wet bread. Good. I don't like fruits and bread together.
You don't like, it's or not like wet dough. Bread. It's a cut. Okay.
Yeah, it's dough. I don't like that. It's wet bread. I don't like that. That's gross.
Well, that's a conversation for another day. It's I'm really going to let that one go.
But so I was like, you know, I'm going to call them. I already knew it was like 10:15, so I already knew they were closed. But I was like, let me just put it on record so they know. Mm-hmm. So long story
short.
You're
always covering your bases.
Exactly. So I woke up Saturday morning, and because that was $15 worth of food. And I was like, you're not in this economy. You're not getting my $15 Bojangles.
It was only $15.
Only? What you mean? Well, that was a lot. I got
sides. I feel like you got a lot of food for $15. Well, you only got peach cobbler for $15.
That's what I'm saying. I was supposed to get a fried mac and cheese and a coleslaw. And that was it. I was just 3.
Oh. In my head, it sounded like you had like a full spread.
No.
I guess that is just sides.
Just the sides. And so long story short, I went to the place Saturday morning, and I had kept all the food there. And I was like, hey, how you doing? good morning. I know it's early. However, I didn't get what I ordered. And the manager, she was so nice. So shout out to the team at Bojangles on Saturday. Her name, the manager's name was Adriana. And the young lady that was at the front, her name is Sophia. So Bojangles, give them a raise because they immaculate customer service. They handled my situation, gave me my refund, and even gave me free breakfast. So I was really appreciative of that.
First of all, I dare you to go to any business in this town and find two people who aren't named Adriana and Sophia.
That's so random.
That is probably the most common name in San Antonio. That was just the most San Antonio. Most San Antonio story I've ever heard in my entire life.
I have not. I mean, Sophia's yes in San Antonio, but Adriana's no.
I could name six. Did you just hand back the peach cobbler?
No. I had it in the bag and everything.
You were just like, here.
Yeah, here. She was like, you can keep it. I was like, baby, I'm not going to eat this. So I just threw it away.
That's so funny to me.
I wasn't going to eat that.
But you could have pulled a Karen.
And did what?
And just been like, I didn't order this.
Well, see, here's the thing. When people do stuff like that, especially the people who work in customer service, I just don't believe in playing around with people who cook your food. I just don't believe in disrespecting people I don't believe in disrespecting anybody in customer service, but also too, specifically people who are preparing your food. Because if you're preparing my food, there's no way that I'm going to sit here and yell and scream and do all this stuff. Cause you're going to go back there and you're going to piss on my food. And I'm not going to do that. Oh, even when I go to a restaurant, if you give me the wrong order at a restaurant, doesn't matter if you heard it wrong or you put something in it, whatever, even if it was supposed to not have bacon and it has bacon in it. If I send it back, I am not, first of all, I'm not going to send anything back. I'm going to order something else and then I'm going to wait for you to bring that out. And then I'll sit there with the untouched product and say, hey, this was the wrong thing. Cause I don't want no bullshit happening. I just don't.
I am that bitch at the restaurant who is like, oh, the waiter has to be my friend. I have to make friends with this person.
Yeah.
Surely then they won't spit in my food.
You would hope they wouldn't, but you know,
I'm like, this has become a one woman show. It's me and you, buddy. But I agree. But there's nothing worse than getting home and not having your food.
Yes. It was because I was like, dang, I was already hungry. So then I had to go back out at 10:15 p.m. and go to Burger King. So shout out to Burger King because they at least gave me some fries.
I have PTSD because it's always my food that gets messed up. So I'm like, do not pull away. I'm checking the bag.
Yeah. So I normally never do that. I always check my food. Yeah. But it was just.
See, because it's the one time you don't.
Exactly.
And you got.
I did. But they, like I said, Bojangles, and the thing is, it just opened. And the young lady, to her defense, she had a lot of bags in front of her just trying to help the drive-thru because the drive-thru was so crazy and I was the only person that was inside trying to, you know, order or whatever. So she had a bunch of bags. So it was just an innocent mistake. She probably just grabbed the wrong bag, put it in my thing or whatever. So it was totally fine. And you know, got a blessing. So
on the way, I was driving back to San Antonio and I stopped at Whataburger at 5 p.m. on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Big mistake. Huge. So long. It took me 30 minutes to get freaking chicken strips. I ordered a Coke, take one sip of the soda, root beer.
Ugh. Oh, I hate root beer.
I know. Also, just when you're not expecting it, it's like spicy.
Yeah.
I don't want it. Literally,
I feel like you're being poisoned.
choking in the car. And she pulls out the drive-thru and I literally went, mm-mm. No. I don't want that. She's like, what? I'm like, take it back.
See, I'm just a firm believer that you get more bees with honey than you do vinegar. And I feel like, you know, in this society right now, you know, fast food workers already don't make enough money to make a living wage and they don't have a reason to be nice to you. Now, granted, you filled out the application.
That's true.
You decided to have that job. But at the same time, the amount of people that come in there and that are so rude and disrespectful to these people is ridiculous. It's disgusting what they do.
My thing is, just like as a whole, collectively, those jobs suck. You don't get paid. You work very hard. Mm-hmm. The people are really rude. So I'm like, my fat ass is here trying to get this food just like everybody, you know what I mean?
Well, then, you know, and then too, I think in the society of social media and everybody just trying to record everything, like you're trying to rectify a situation and the first thing you do is throw your phone out. So I am here at the Bojangles on so-and-so road in San Antonio and they messed up my order. How do you think that interaction is going to go? First of all, you're already invading that person's privacy. You're already violating that person's privacy.
So they don't get paid enough to deal with your shit.
And it's just some biscuits and some mac and cheese. It ain't the end of the world, baby.
No.
I told her, I said, I either want my money back or you can give me like a store credit or gift card or whatever, because I'm going to come back here again. It's fucking Bojangles. I love Bojangles.
I've never
had it. It's really good. I think their biscuits are way better.
It sounds racist to me, but I'm willing to try.
Okay. So yes, but for chicken, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like reclaiming the word.
No, it's not in the same class.
Okay. Got it.
It's like what the N-word or the, no, not the N word, but the F word over here versus the F word in the UK.
Got it.
Right.
Got it. Two totally different things. Like spaz and spaz.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. But how was your week this past week?
I've had some highs and lows, some roses and thorns.
Okay, that's very poetic.
My high was that one of my patients called me Sunshine.
Okay.
And it was just the nicest little compliment. I have never been called Sunshine by a patient. And it was really nice. I liked it.
Was you saying that because you were light-skinned or what?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
You just icked my
I'm not trying to yuck a yum.
I think he said it because I was bright and vibrant and a ray of light in his life. I don't know. It was just a very nice thing to be called, a compliment, because I usually get like, you know how old men are just like, sweetheart, honey.
Yeah.
I was just like, bleh.
Yeah.
But Sunshine was cute and fun, and he was old and nice.
Oh, that's nice.
My low was that I come back to my city, my home of the last 30 years, San Antonio, Texas, where I've hung my hat, where I reside, where I claim proudly with my heart.
Okay, we get it. Uh-huh.
Okay. I go to what is basically the only mall available to someone who wants to shop and eat, La Quintera. Okay? It is the most packed I have ever seen a mall in my entire life. For those of you not from San Antonio, La Quintera is a really nice outdoor mall.
Mm-hmm.
It is not even like, oh, this is a typical weekend packed mall situation. It is like one car in, one car out of the parking lot. Like,
are they having a sale on something?
I have no idea. It's like, oh, are the people coming up from Mexico? Is that this weekend when the Nationals come?
What Nationals for what?
You know when all the people from Mexico come up to shop, but I thought that was...
No, I don't think it was that.
Oh, no. Well, a lot of people will come up from Mexico. There's certain weekends and they'll all go shopping and it's called the Nationals are here.
Oh.
But I don't think it was that. I don't know. I've never seen them all like this in my entire life and it was awful. And so it was like you literally were just, you know, when you circle the parking lot and you're literally just waiting for someone to walk to their car and you're going to wait there for them to pull out.
Yeah.
I finally find this family. They're walking to their car. There's no one. There's no cars around me. So I'm just sitting there probably for like 3 minutes. They're getting in the car. They're taking their time, which I don't care because I'm the person who's like, I'll wait. I got time. They're in the car. They're pulling out. As they're pulling out because it's been waiting, there's probably a car behind me and two other cars kind of lining up behind them because we're waiting for them to pull out. Mm-hmm. I've had my blinker on. I'm waiting there. This motherfucking car. Pulls into the spot right as they leave.
I hate people like that.
What is wrong with you people? That's so disrespectful. What is wrong with this country? We have no morals.
Joe Biden's America. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God. I laid on the horn. Pull up behind them. Just sit there. I was so pissed.
I would have called the police. They stole my parking spot.
I'd have been like, I am black in America.
Black Lives Matter.
This is an injustice. In your fucking 1987 Lexus, which...
It's still working.
It's still working.
And it's paid off,
but
I would
also,
hope.
I've never been so upset. That kind of shit usually doesn't piss me off. I don't care. But it was just perfect storm. Yeah. All that to say, the city is growing and I don't approve of it. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. Keep San Antonio lame and small.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it's the growth just... Coming back, I haven't even been gone that long, like a couple weeks. The growth is insane. Too many people. I don't like it.
And they're doing too much construction because they're putting up too many houses and they don't have the infrastructure with regard to traffic to maintain it. I'm like, we literally have one lane highway areas and you got 30,000 communities sharing one stoplight. It's the stupidest thing
I've ever
heard of. It
made me very sad driving around the other day because I see it growing and I see it wanting to look like other cities in Texas, but we never are. And I don't think we need to be.
San Antonio.
Exactly. That's who we are. We don't need to be a Dallas. We don't need to be a Houston. That's what those places are for.
I actually wanted to move to Dallas. That was my first choice. It is.
Yeah. Who wants to move to San Antonio?
No one.
No one. That's the best part about it. No one wants to be here unless you're from here. And even then, you don't want to be here.
I got tricked only for money.
Yeah.
Not prostitution, but for an actual job.
Unless it was. And if it was, we wouldn't shame her for it.
Well,
no, but that's my little San Antonio spiel. So I know. I'm going to stop kicking that. No, roses and thorns. But other than that, it was a fine week.
That's good.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Oh, that's good. Well, let's get on into it.
Oh, wait. It's OT month.
Oh, it is. OT, 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 OT. What is occupational therapy? If you've been listening to our podcast long enough, you should know the answer to this goddamn question. This is only for the new people.
For those of you who forgot, I am a registered and licensed occupational therapist.
All right.
I'm just as shocked as you are.
And what do you do as a registered and licensed occupational therapist?
I help people regain function and enjoy activities in their lives.
Are you the same thing as a PT?
Well, great question. No, I am not your physical therapist. I know nothing about physical therapy. Nor do I want to know.
Hey, tread lightly. As you know, I'm a physical therapist.
No, I'm not the same thing as a physical therapist, but we do overlap a lot.
Do you help people get jobs?
I don't need an occupational therapist. I'm retired. I'm retired. I could help you get a job. I could do that, but that is not what I do, right. Unless that's something very near and dear to your heart that you need to do.
Then you need to go to somebody else.
Yeah, I could probably point you in the right direction. Yeah, but no, sure. I help you get back to doing the things you want to do. And I love my job for the most part.
You love your patients, not your job.
I love my patients. I love being able to help my patients. Mm-hmm. I love a lot of things about it. OT is a great job.
I am a physical therapist, but I am a huge OT advocate, occupational therapy advocate, because I hate when people devalue you all, because you guys are so necessary and so needed in our industry. And I hate when people confuse y'all and say, oh, are you PT also? Like, yeah, we're going to bring two PTs to your room, you stupid idiot. Anyway, but there's so many different things that OT deals with that we don't as physical therapists. And I think we sometimes take it for granted or just don't care about it, unfortunately. Like, I don't care that you remember to take your meds on time and that you don't take them multiple times, or that you have pants on or can brush your teeth and wash your face. Can you walk is all I care about as a PT. Yeah. So it's very barbaric, but that's just who I am. So, you know, or who we are as PTs. Yeah.
And there's multiple settings you can be in if you're an occupational therapist. I feel like a lot of people think of pediatrics, working with kids, mm-hmm. helping them, you know, work on their motor skills, their handwriting, any kind of sensory issues, right? But I just want to give everyone like a very broad, brief synopsis of what an OT's job is in an acute care setting, okay?
All right, we're ready.
Okay. You go into co-treat or evaluate with a physical therapist. The physical therapist is like, we're getting up. We got to walk. How'd you do this before? Are you in any pain? You're not doing that right. We got to fix this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And while I am there technically to get them to work on their arm strength or maybe brush their teeth, wash their face, use the restroom, what I'm really doing is going behind the physical therapist being like, what she really means is this. Are you okay doing that? Are you in any pain right now? Do you need to take a break? Are you okay with the plan? Okay, she's going to go get this, this, and that. Did she tell you this is why? This is why she's telling you to do these things so we can actually do this kind of thing. Is that more comfortable than that? That's my whole job. It's just going behind these people, these therapists, checking on your ass because someone has to.
Which is why we get so annoyed with y'all when y'all are asking all these goddamn questions. And we're just like, hurry up. We don't have to be in here for 38 minutes. Come on.
They're like, well, you can't do. And I'm like, it's always getting out of the bed. They're like, get out of the bed. Da, da, da. I'm like, he slept in a recliner chair for the last 10 years. You're being mean.
Well, you know, y'all be mean, because let me tell you something. OTs, the only part about an occupational therapist that I hate, and it's going to be controversial. I'm okay with that. Why the hell do you care if a patient can put on their goddamn socks?
It's important.
I don't annoys the shit out of me. Here's the thing. You will have a patient who just had open heart surgery, and these motherfuckers over here, can you try to put your socks on? Got chest tubes everywhere. You know they can't do it. I just don't understand why, as ODs, y'all haven't figured out some other kind of test other than just putting on your goddamn socks.
First of all, it's a good assessment of range of motion. Grip strength.
You can do other ways.
And endurance. Everyone gets winded trying to put their socks on.
You're going
to
bust their chest open.
Also, I need to know that question, how you respond to that command.
Put your socks on.
Put your socks on is all I'll need to know for the rest of our time together. Because you're either going to be like, I don't know, but I can try. Which means we're going to have a great rest of our time. Or you're going to be like, oh, I can, but why would I do that? I just had surgery.
I love patients who do that.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
I love patients who give y'all pushback and be like, are you kidding me? I just had surgery. Why do you think
joke?
I put my
I'm like,
socks
do
on?
Do I look like I'm fucking joking? Take your sock off.
Or they'll just be like, no, I can't do it. No.
Or the best one, they're like, yeah, of course I can take my sock off. And then I just sit there and let them struggle. And I'm like, yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
That's so mean. I don't understand. Like, you just had open heart surgery. You care about socks. Like, why is that your, like, the hill you're willing to die on? Just, take your fucking socks off. And so as a PT, that annoys the shit out of me. That's the only thing about OTs that annoys the shit out of me.
The other part that annoys me about physical. So, like, most of the time, physical therapy always wants to go and put the patient's sock on. And I have to be like, can you give them a chance? Like, just see if they can do it on their own. Okay. So then finally, it'll be this patient who's like flaccid on one side or contracted, just like a horrible stroke or like the worst surgery ever. And we'll be doing stuff and the PT will be like, do you want them to try and put their socks on? I'm like, obviously not. Obviously not.
I do that just to piss them off.
And they're like a 900-pound patient. I'm like, obviously they can't put their fucking socks on. Thank you.
Yeah, I hate
it. The one thing I have is the socks. Let me do it. It's the one thing I got.
I'm just like, I'm going to be doing range of motion and strength testing on the lower extremities. So just, you can tell if they can do their socks.
Jessica hates it when I do that.
I hate it. Oh my
before
God,
they would sit up and before she could test the legs, I'd be like, can you put on your socks? And she's like, I'm about to fucking see if they can test their
socks. Thank you. Yo, as a PT, that annoys the crap out of me with y'all OTs.
But I have to get in there because if not, by the time you test the legs, they're like, okay, yeah, let's get up and go and do all the shit. And then I never get my chance.
I'll wait. I just don't think you should force people to put their socks on. That's so mean.
Well, and then everyone's heart rate skyrockets. Thank they're short you. Of breath. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll get the next one.
Then they're doing Valsalva and it's just like, this is your patient about to pass. Oh, I'm getting dizzy. Yeah, because you're trying to put your fucking socks on.
And I always have to sit there like this. I'm like, when should I jump in? I gotta give them a little time. Maybe they'll figure it out.
Y'all, we love working together as PTs and OTs, but it's good when we can talk about our differences and the things that annoy us about each other.
Yeah, you should try asking someone how they put their socks on because it really throws them off. It's like they've never put on a sock before.
Or the patients say, I don't wear socks.
Yeah, my wife's done that for the last 12 years.
Exactly. Anyway. Well, speaking of crazy things that people have been doing, also too, happy OT month, happy CODA month as well too, to all the OTs and CODAs out there. We appreciate you.
You
we
are see good you
guys,
people.
And we appreciate everything that you guys bring to the world of rehabilitation. I'll tell you who needs some rehab. People who are obsessed with the solar eclipse. What is the big deal?
Yeah, it's a... okay.
Okay, get it out.
That's what I have to say about it. I said what I said. I feel like it's one of... You know, some people are Swifties.
Okay.
Some people go to midnight premieres of movies. Mm-hmm. Some people love the eclipse.
Right.
And there's eclipse people.
Okay, how long does the actual eclipse last?
I think in totality, this, I want everyone to know that I know 1% of things about what is happening, okay? But what I think it is like in totality, it's 20 minutes, but it's only visible to you for like 4 minutes at a time if you're in a good spot.
People are traveling from everywhere to come to certain parts of the city. Like,
oh, San Texas
Antonio,
is.
San Antonio has already put on like their little, you know, on the highway, their signs like, oh, prepare, leave early and leave late or whatever. Be careful. And I'm like, be careful. Why? If this is going to cause us harm, why are we looking at it? Why are we doing these things?
I guess because it's an exciting thing.
And how often does a solar eclipse happen?
Lunar eclipse or whatever the hell? Every 11 years, which is why the last time this happened was like 2012 and everyone was freaking out about the world ending.
No, didn't something happen with Trump almost he looked at it and they were like, oh, don't look at it when he was president?
That was a solar eclipse.
So
I
what
think
is this?
This is a lunar eclipse.
So what else? I didn't pay attention in geography, world history. What the hell? When do you learn that? In science? I don't know.
Oh, shit. No, this is a solar eclipse. It's going to happen tomorrow. Lunar eclipse is 2025. One is the sun passes in front of the moon and one is the moon passes in front of the sun.
So it looks the same.
This also feels like eighth grade science that I should know and probably learned, but I also went to private school, so they didn't really teach me shit.
I don't remember. I mean, who knows? I knew a crescent moon.
That's good.
Why do I need to know about the moon? I'm not an astronaut.
Is anyone a fifth grade teacher? Can you come on here and teach us some shit?
No, I don't want to learn about that. That's not important.
It's exciting. It is interesting to think that, you know, you have something rotating like this. You have a moon here and a sun here, and everything's going to line up perfectly to where they cross. That's kind of exciting.
And man couldn't put that in the sky. That's nobody but Jesus.
That's my Jesus. That's my God.
I was going to try to do something, but I couldn't.
A solar eclipse is when the moon passes between the earth and the sun. A lunar eclipse is when the earth passes between the sun and the moon.
Yeah, I don't see the hype.
So it's going to be earth, moon, sun.
No, I totally understand what you're saying, but I don't care.
I guess if you were, you know how there were like chemistry kids who wanted chemistry sets when they were little? And
I had a chemistry set.
Yeah, and some people really liked space. These are the space kids.
Yeah, well, it's weird.
Like, and there were dinosaur kids, plane kids.
Well, people are talking about all this stuff that's going to happen, like these conspiracy theories, and I'm just like, y'all, no man knows the day or the hour. Just relax and enjoy the
ride. My Nana told me the time is soon, so I'm just trying to get ready.
Listen, they, you know, we are in the last and evil days. I feel like we've been in the last and evil days probably since slavery. And I just feel like, you know,
I'm just trying to make it. Every day is a struggle.
You know.
But I'm getting up and thanking God.
Listen.
Amen.
There's brand new mercies I see every morning.
Thank you, my Jesus. Thing is, why I don't understand the correlation between the eclipse and accidents. It's like everyone's saying the traffic's going to be bad. Accidents are going to be bad.
I think because people aren't paying attention.
Is it because you're not going to be able to see because it's going to be dark?
People are probably just parking in the random, most random spots. And if they don't, they'll get a spot, then they're just randomly stopping in the middle of the street or something like that. But you also know San Antonians can't drive.
That's true. That's why you shouldn't San Antonio, move here.
And I don't care how you feel about this. And I am not a San Antonio native. I just live here. Okay. I am from South Florida and we drive like bats out of hell. However, San Antonio probably by far has to have the worst drivers in the world. Y'all, this place has the most like pointless accidents on a regular basis. And I'm like, how in the hell did you even get in this position?
In our defense, everyone is like got the itis. Everyone has just had the biggest Mexican meal of their life.
It could be 6 o'clock in the morning and they still get in accidents.
Everyone's just like the most, everyone's laid back.
Ow.
Can't drive because we've got nowhere to go and we're going there at no speed.
At no speed.
And that's why driving in Houston, Dallas pisses me off because I'm like, why is everyone in a row? Where are we? San Antonio is a different world.
Dallas is crazy. Dallas kind of scares me. I'll drive in Miami before I drive in Dallas because Miami, they're going to cut you off going 110.
Oh, yeah.
And in Dallas, I mean, even on the, not the turnpike, but the toll road, mm-hmm. the minimum speed limit is what, 85? And I'm like, that's a little bit too fast for me.
I guess there was an analysis that says the eclipse can increase traffic injuries and eye injuries.
Yeah, because people aren't wearing glasses. Just like 45 almost blinded himself. And his people had to tell him, oh, don't look directly at it. And he's just like, I'm like, dude, y'all should have just let him be blind. Anyway.
Study warns that it could lead to 1,000 car crash deaths.
I'm going to be at work. When is this supposed to be happening?
I don't know. You're asking a lot of great questions. And if I watched make sure the news or like cared about the world.
I'm going to just make sure that I'm not around people when that happens.
This is probably really exciting for people who like this. True. Good for you, people.
Yeah, I guess. Just don't crash into us. Anywho, let's talk about some crashing of the Titans here. We got to talk about women's sports, specifically women's basketball championships going on, that kind of stuff. Women's college basketball right now. It has been an amazing March Madness. I cannot tell you what's happened with the men because we don't care. Nobody looks at them.
Ain't give a shit.
And they're very boring. I just know that one dude, the big black dude from NC State, he's doing amazing. Anywho.
Wow, a big black basketball player.
Couldn't even tell you who they played against, what the score was.
And I love the change in the tides.
Absolutely. Even Shaq said it. Shaq was like, yeah, the men aren't interesting. I'm watching the women's.
Yeah.
So I love that.
The women's ticket was more than double the price of the men's Final Four ticket.
I love that.
And they play more exciting basketball. They always have.
They just didn't have the eyes on them, which I think is sad and unfortunate. But this past week, we know that the Final Four has occurred. And unfortunately, LSU lost to Iowa. And I'm only saying unfortunately because I'm an LSU fan. Well, actually, I'm not an LSU fan. I'm a fan of the team members that are on that team.
Okay.
And so we talked about this last episode about how racist and discriminatory the media has been, specifically white middle-aged men who have taken this March Madness to spew their racism, calling LSU players dirty debutantes, and just being so vile and just aggressive and mean and dogmatic when it comes to 18 to 20 year old young women who are in college, mm-hmm. playing for teams and having the time of their lives. And so this week, LSU actually lost to Iowa, and then Angel Reese announced that she was declaring herself for the WNBA draft. The thing that I find very interesting in this is that last season when Iowa lost to LSU in the national championship, nobody cheered that Caitlin Clark lost.
No.
And the Iowa team lost.
That was not the narrative.
The narrative was, and people cheered for LSU winning. Mm-hmm. This year, it has just been so vile and disgusting that people are wishing and hoping for Angel Reese specifically and LSU to lose, as opposed to just being happy for Caitlin Clark mm-hmm. and Iowa to win. And a lot of the stuff that they've been saying, like the press conference after they lost the game, they were, you know, she was very emotional, and there was so much commentary talking about how Angel Reese doesn't know how to take a loss and all this other kind of bullshit. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Do y'all realize that, first of all, this young lady, I believe, is 21 years old, okay? Still very young, okay? Prefrontal cortex is still not developed. We don't talk about that all the time. But also, too, I feel like this young lady has had a long road to get to where she is in basketball. Multiple injuries. She had to change schools a couple times because she legit broke her foot, came in and only played at LSU that year, and then won a national championship. And her playing her last college game with this team of women is absolutely amazing. So while I don't think she was crying about an actual loss, I'm quite sure she was emotional about that. Mm-hmm. But also, too, now she has 48 hours to make a decision of what she's going to do with the rest of her life. And that can, you know, change the trajectory of her life as well, too. But I think also she was talking about how, you know, she's been made out to be this villain, and people keep saying, oh, well, you want to be a villain so bad. No, she's never proclaimed herself as a fucking villain. She has always said, y'all want to make me out the villain? Then fine, I'll be there. Y'all can say whatever y'all want to say about me, but I love my team, and I'm going to always do what I need to do for women's basketball. And the fact that so many commentators came out talking about, oh, you can't cry big bad wolf and then cry about it and all that kind of bullshit, specifically Emmanuel Ocho or whatever your fucking name is, bitch ass bitch. Anyway, he just annoyed the shit out of me because I'm just like talking about, oh, if you want to be grown like you are and get money like grown like you are. And I'm just like, who hurt your feelings? Did you try to holler at her and she told you no? Like, you whack ass bitch. Oh my God, it's so annoying.
Whenever these little boys in sports say anything crazy, it's just like, oh man, that was wild. And push it. Keep pushing, move it on. But God forbid she say or do anything.
Here's the thing. I looked up Emmanuel Ocho. What's his name again?
Ocho.
Okay, this man was in the NFL for 3 years, okay? 3 years. He started the Cleveland Browns in 2012. Went to the Philadelphia Eagles in 2013, went to the Giants in 2013, then back to the Philadelphia Eagles in 2015. And that's all you did.
Yep.
So I just want you to shut the fuck up, especially about black women. Like, again, these women are having the time of their lives, making great money, doing what they love to do, but they are still very young. And the fact that, you know, people would just see people crying and automatically assume that she can't get emotional or have feelings. Y'all pissed at her when she's passionate and when she's talking shit to, you know, trash talking to other players. Then you get mad when she's emotional. Oh, you can't do both. Well, what the hell? Now, Steph Curry the other night cried because Draymond Green got kicked out of the game in the first 4 minutes. Ain't nobody call him a bitch. Ain't nobody tell him to take it up on the chin. Mm-mm. But y'all will say that about Angel Reese, who, again, she just ended her college career.
Also, I know 21 is technically still an adult, but I'm just like, you were still a kid. That was your childhood's ending.
Yeah.
You're done. It's emotional. Also, you're allowed to be emotional.
Exactly.
She's dealt with crazy shit. She knows it's about to be crazier because everyone's about to keep talking shit about her. And her teammate just said some really nice things about her up there. And when anyone says nice things about me after I just had this heightened experience.
Exactly.
You're allowed to cry.
Well, even when she was talking about, you know, the fact that she's been discriminated against, how people have made racist comments about her. She's even had death threats. This young lady has had, why are people trying to kill Angel Reese over a basketball?
For what, dude?
It is so fucking stupid. And she's literally saying,
can bet on sports.
She's being hypersexualized. And people say, well, you're the one that posts yourself in a bikini. First of all, this young lady was not talking about her Instagram and posting pictures of herself in a bikini that she's doing for an ad for Sports Illustrated or whoever, Target. Yeah. I don't give a damn. These people out in the universe legit put Angel Reese's face on AI pornography and was distributing it as if it was her. Now, have people done that with Caitlin Clark? I doubt it.
Yeah.
Because they always hypersexualize black women. It's fucking ridiculous. But I'm just like, so many people I hate when women's basketball or women's sports in general is like on a high. That's the perfect time for middle-aged, small dick white men to come out with their nasty racist ass opinions. And guess what? If you're not a racist white man with a small dick, I ain't talking to you. So don't be in our comments talking fuck shit, because okay. I cut your ass out.
And I completely understand. I was telling her earlier, we're not commenter people. Like, when I see a post on Instagram, positive or negative, I don't comment.
No.
Like, I comment on friends' posts, people I know personally. But I do understand that when you see something you like or you are excited about, you want to comment on it.
Right.
The amount of negative comments I saw from men that I knew on the LSU, like the whatever comes out from freaking Sports Center or whatever, mm-hmm. that's like, you know, LSU lost or yeah. won whatever. And it was just like, you can't spell L without L, blah, blah, all these. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is the ickiest thing I ever saw. Grow the fuck up.
Seriously. And you just started watching women's basketball yesterday. Y'all got so many opinions. And y'all, because the real fans of women's basketball, obviously I'm a real fan of women's basketball. But my thing is, for those of us who have been watching women's basketball faithfully mm-hmm. for decades and understand how important this type of notoriety is.
That
and
we got here.
Exactly. And it's like, then you have people who trample on it and start calling people dirty debutantes and nappy-headed hoes and all this other kind of bullshit. And I'm just like, you're taking the fun out of the competition. Like, by bringing your own stupid bullshit into it.
This is not the Pistons and the Pacers.
And the thing is, half of these people making comments would not be able to go one-on-one with Angel Reese. Oh, would no. not be able to go one-on-one with Flage. Let's be clear. Let's be very clear. Oh, the way she played, she could have did this. No, bitch, your ass, if you could have did it, you would have already done it, and you didn't. So shut the fuck up. It's like we be talking about, oh, my Cowboys won. They're not yours. You don't own the team. I need you to stop being delusional. Man, he could have caught that pass. Get your fat ass out there and go catch it. Shut up. And just, it's just like Beyonce's album. Just enjoy the game.
Just enjoy the game. It's fun. It's like, it's entertaining. It's death great threats. Sportsmanship. What crazy. What do you think someone would have to do to elicit a death threat from you? That you didn't know personally.
Just exist. That's it.
For you to be like, I want to kill you?
No, there's nothing that anybody can do that won't make
me kill you. That's what I'm saying. No. What would someone have to do to make you get online and be like, I want to fucking kill you?
I think it's just, the thing is, when people are jealous of your talent, they're jealous of the notoriety that you're getting. Because also, too, I even saw, and this is not, I don't think these people are jealous, but as far as like Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, and... Breonna Stewart, they were all talking and doing commentary during the UConn and Iowa game. And they were talking about NIL and everything, and about how they were, and Cheryl Miller was in the conversation as well too. And they were talking about like what they would do if they had NIL and stuff like that, the money that they had and whatnot. But it's just like, now that these young women are making millions of dollars as college students, you have people who are just like jealous of that. And I'm just like, don't be jealous. You should have been good at your sport whenever you played, if you played some shit. Like, how you get mad at the fact that something exists now, but it didn't exist earlier. That's just like for boomers to get mad at people with cell phones. I'm sorry cell phones weren't around when you were a kid, but goddamn, it's around now.
Let it go.
Just let it go. I can't change that shit. But it's disgusting. But I do love the fact that even in the midst of Angel having a moment, a real authentic humanistic moment, and they tried to dehumanize her in that moment, especially the media. I love the fact that Flage came in and, number one, validated her out loud, and number two, encouraged her publicly and defended her and let people know, listen, whatever kind of bullshit y'all want to talk about Angel Reese, that's cool. But let me help y'all understand something. Y'all don't know who she is. Mm-hmm. And the crown that this girl wears is quite heavy. And the fact that she has helped, you know, Flage openly said she has helped me with my game from my freshman year to my sophomore year. Y'all don't know her. And at the end of the day, you can say whatever you want to say about her, but she is genuine. She is a loving person. And to see, again, the fact that they tried to dehumanize this 21-year-old black woman, mm-hmm. and to have her teammates, even Haley Van Litt said, you know, the fact that you're calling people dirty debutantes, she was like, there's only me and one other white girl on this team. And this team is majority of black women. And the fact that y'all would be making racist comments, she was like, they wouldn't make those comments about me. If I did the same thing Angel Reese did, they would not make the same comments about me. And it's just disgusting. It's like, just enjoy the goddamn game.
I did love what Flage said. And I was just like, this is girly friendship.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I love being a woman, because you can step in and be like, listen, mm-hmm. y'all don't fucking understand.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here to tell you the great things this person mm-hmm. is doing, and y'all can talk all the shit you want, but we know who she is, and mm-hmm. she knows who she is, and on this team, we're cool.
Exactly.
And y'all should really, you know, respect and admire that, but you don't, because you're all pieces of shit.
Exactly. Like, nobody talks about her accolades. Nobody talks about, again, how, like, let's be very clear. Dawn Staley, I think, just socially, her presence being a coach and winning a national title the first time she did brought a certain level of notoriety back to college women's mm-hmm. basketball, right? On a bigger global scale. And people were following, not per se the players to a degree, but Dawn Staley. And then last year, there's been this overwhelming boom with regard to marketing in women's college basketball specifically, where Angel Reese was pretty much the face of college basketball. Right. She didn't choose that. She just happened to be the face of women's basketball.
Because sometimes you have it. You know, I say like star power. Right. She's great at what she does. Mm-hmm. She's got a personality. She's confident.
Yeah.
She's and she beautiful. Doesn't
take the she doesn't take credit for herself. She always says, even when they call Angel Reese's name, she always goes back to, it's a team effort, me and my team, us, we. She's never saying I. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest difference. And so this year, because again, everybody wanted Caitlin Clark to win. And then too, with this year, Caitlin Clark, breaking the record, the all-time scoring record and everything. Of course, everybody wants her now to win the championship, which is totally fine. And now she's the face of women's college basketball this year. But just because she was the face of it this year doesn't mean that that invalidates everything that Angel Reese brought to the table last year. And it doesn't invalidate, you know, Caitlin Clark from last year, what Angel Reese brought to the table. You know what I mean? It was just like, they're just doing too much.
You can talk about six different NBA players and how they're all different. Yep. And their games are different and how they've all been important to the sport. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, anytime you talk about women's sports, it's one. It's
one at a time. Woman,
one at a time.
It's just like women and like women, female MCs. It's always got to be one rapper at a time and never a whole plethora of them. Yeah. You, like you said, you could talk about LeBron, Steph, you know, Klay Thompson, all these other people, Jay Morant. You could talk about all these men. You have 32 of them. Yeah. Oh, they're all number one. But for some reason, it's got to be one or the other. And then again, unfortunately, because, you know, Angel Reese is black and Caitlin Clark is white, it's going to always be this black versus white
tale
battle.
As old as time.
It's so stupid. And the thing, but I do feel like, and because the game hasn't come on yet while we're recording, I pray that they do not get into a situation where they purposefully rig this game to allow Caitlin Clark to win a championship just to seal the deal of her being a GOAT. Because to me, I'm going to be honest with you. I saw that UConn game and that was a bullshit ass call. The fact that look, you had NBA players who were saying that was a bullshit ass call, especially when it's a game that's that tight. Mm-hmm. That screen was not the screen that she set was not bad at all. The girl was not moving. This flopping and bullshit is too fucking much. It just pissed me off because I really wanted UConn to win. Anyway, but all I'm saying is, it was annoying.
Speaking of 21-year-old girls.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you see the pictures come out of Kamora Lee and Russell Simmons' daughter, Aoki Lee?
I did.
Lord okay. Jesus. Oh, we love the drama.
All I'm going to say is the sins of the father.
Kamora Lee Simmons is... Okay, is that you or me? Bling.
That's you.
Lord?
Oh, no, that was me.
That hotline. Was you. Hotline bling.
Sorry, I'm just kidding.
Kamora Lee and Russell Simmons' daughter, Aoki Lee, is 21. Mm-hmm. She was photographed in St. Bart's with spending time with, kissing... hanging out with 65-year-old man.
Seems like something that her dad does.
And the internet is aghast. What is that, a 44-year age difference? That's wild. 21 and 60, sir.
That's what he been doing. That's what her daddy been doing.
That's true.
That and when you true. Do that to somebody's daughter, when you do that to somebody else's daughter, unfortunately, that karma could come back to you, which is what's happening.
Well, his response was to post a picture of them from Father's Day last year reminiscing on their great Father's Day and was like, my phone's always here if you want to call.
Yeah, because now you're embarrassed because you realize the error of your ways
and
of dating all these 19
and 20 footage
olds,
got released
allegedly.
Of an old, I guess, were they on Instagram Live where she was like, basically raise my allowance. Mm-hmm. I need more money. Yeah. He's like, no. And she was like, if you don't do it, I'm going to find a sugar daddy. I love a woman who sticks to her word.
I guess she won't lie.
That is 21 and 65. You know, get it how you live, girl.
I mean, I think it's disgusting on his behalf for him to be 65. Like, you cannot tell me.
If I was 21, I would fucking do it too.
That it's just disgusting because, again, what can a 21-year-old offer you? Like, this girl has not even found who she is as a person, as a woman in society. And she, again, she's very impressionable. At any 21-year-old, I don't care how mature you are. At the end of the day, you haven't lived enough life at that point. And you're 65, and you mean to tell me that you as this executive or whoever you are couldn't find a woman either your age or even 10 years your you know, junior? Your junior? Like, come
this
on.
This man is the same age as her father.
Which, again, the sins of the father. Russell Simmons has been known to be dating these young-ass girls, these young-ass women, and now your daughter is a product of it, unfortunately. And I pray that man don't dog her out. But this is why I said last episode with Diddy's girls, all the shit that you did to other people's daughters, I pray that that does not happen to your daughters either. Charlamagne too, because he got what, 4 or 5 daughters. Mm. Sir, you better hope and pray all that shit that you did to women over the years does not come back and hit that karma on your babies. That's all I'm saying, specifically your daughters. And not saying that I want anything, I'm not wishing anything bad. I'm just saying, when, and it's the same thing even with mothers and their sons.
That's true.
Like, you just got to be careful. It's called
karma. Look it up. All right.
Pretty much. I'll tell you who else is getting karma. People from Quiet Onset. What were you talking about that?
Excuse me.
They're not getting enough karma, I should say.
They're not getting enough karma. Okay. We've talked about Quiet Onset, mm-hmm. the documentary about how awful Nickelodeon was and Dan Schneider, the producer, and yada, yada, yada. And how the internet has turned this into this witch hunt for everyone who has ever been on a Nickelodeon show and hasn't made a statement about the documentary mm-hmm. is now being called, like, you know, a pedophile sympathizer, and how dare you, and why haven't you spoken out? Which I just think, I don't know that we can witch hunt everyone everywhere who doesn't say anything. Like, this is obviously a horrible thing, but I think the people that are speaking up mm-hmm. need to be given the platform, opportunity, spotlight to do that, because A, it's a hard thing to talk about. B, it's something to where if you don't have something to add to that, you mm-hmm. don't need to be speaking on it.
Exactly. If it, like, didn't happen to you.
Yeah, you don't need to be piling in. You can offer your sympathy and your support, mm-hmm. but I don't think everyone needs to be like, oh, I can't believe this, and I had this random interaction. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? People who do this horrific shit to other people don't go after everyone because they know who they can target. So not everyone's going to have the same experience. All that to say, one of the characters from one of the, you didn't watch any of these shows, did you?
I didn't watch Nickelodeon. I was already an adult, or like,
so
older teenager.
Do you remember the show, let me see, that Britney's sister was on?
Britney who?
Britney Spears. Britney Lynn.
Right? No.
So
I didn't know I didn't know about Jamie until Britney, like, had a conservatorship.
Okay, so Jamie Lynn was on this show called Zoe 101.
I think I've heard of that.
And then she got pregnant, allegedly.
Nope, don't never heard of that.
She mm-hmm. got pregnant and the show ended. But there was a guy on it, his name was Matthew Underwood. He just came out.
Carrie Underwood's brother?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be a fun turn of mm-hmm. events? He basically was, you know, came out and said, hey, I just wanted to let everybody know, like, I know what's going on with Quiet Onset. I had an incident happened when I was about 12 years old where I was sexually assaulted by, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a friend or a family member or what. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you guys might be asking why I'm telling you this, but it's because I'm getting so much, like, backlash right now for not speaking mm-hmm. out and not coming, you know, forward with the story. But he's like, I never had a bad experience on set, but I do have my own issues with these things because mm-hmm. he's a child actor. And right. I feel like it's just this horrible situation for most of them. And he's like, but y'all are calling me horrible names for something mm-hmm. I don't have anything to do with, really.
I just feel like when situations like this happen, whether it be an industry or whether it be, you know, just in regular everyday lives, right? I feel like people calling for people to say something or make a statement is pointless. And I'll tell you why. The reason why I think it's pointless is because, so the person comes out and says, I think that this was horrible that it happened, prayers to everybody. What does that do for the justice of these people? What does that then do for the next part of it? Like, because it doesn't do anything. It's just like the same thing of, like, these reporters with everything going on with the genocide in Palestine. Do you condemn Hamas? Say you condemn it. Okay, so if I say I condemn Hamas, then what happens after that? Mm-hmm. Does that mean people stop dying automatically? Does that mean that Israel will stop the genocide? Or does it mean that you just want a soundbite? And the same thing with these comments. It's like people saying stuff to other people. You don't know what has happened to these people. Mm-hmm. You don't know who has signed NDAs, who are contractually obligated to not say anything. And also, too, sometimes saying stuff about these situations and sensitive situations can actually make things worse. Because then if you come out and say, well, I didn't have that experience, but, you know, prayers out to the people. Well, why you had to say you didn't have that experience? Are you trying to invalidate their stories? You can't win for losing with people. So it's just best just to shut the fuck up. Because, again, if you are a victim, your voice is not going to be I won't say necessarily relevant because you're still speaking out against these type of atrocities, right.
but don't take away from the victims of what
yeah. Let them have the platform to be able to say what they want to say. And if you have a bigger platform than the victim, allow the victim then to come on your platform or say whatever, like, let me just repost this or whatever the case may be. Like, people don't have to give these op-eds about, you know, child molestation and pedophilia being wrong. I think we should all know that that shit is wrong. And if you didn't, because even Kenan Thompson, who was on Kenan and Kel or whatever, he said during his time on Nickelodeon, he didn't have any issue. And he said his time on there was a lot of fun. He made a lot of friends and family with those people. He was like, it's sad for me to watch it because, again, right. I don't know that side of these people because I didn't see it. And so I don't think that I have a valid opinion about it because, also, again,
they were all children.
They were children.
And I think that the Me Too movement really skewed how people see big controversies like this and things that come to light. Because I think now everyone thinks like, oh, everyone's got a story. Everyone, because that was what Me Too was. There were hundreds, thousands of women who had these stories.
It wasn't. No, the Me Too movement was about specifically Black women. Look it up. And it got overtaken. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. We ain't gonna talk about that.
Mm-hmm. So we still don't think culturally relevant the Me Too
movement. No. I do think it is, but I'm talking about the origin of the Me Too movement and what it was supposed to be about and how it was overturned and taken to something very different. The reality is the Me Too movement was still about, again, the disgusting nature of violation of women.
We agree on that.
Yes.
I think the Me Too movement skewed how everyone thinks these things go now, and that everyone has this story that they need to tell, and everyone has these little bits and pieces and has to come forward, and it's going to be this huge thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with
that. And I don't think that's realistic. I think during that time, ouch, that's what was happening, and mm-hmm. it became this huge thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's going forward. People don't have to do that. It's not like everyone's waiting in the wings, especially because this happened to kids.
And they're still dealing with the trauma of it. Like, you know, there are people who take years to grieve someone. Right. And there's no time limit on that grief. It's the same way as grieving your childhood of being sexually mm-hmm. assaulted and not being protected, you know, having to deal with either your parents, the executives, or whoever the powers that be did not protect you. And you even coming to grips with, did this happen to me?
Yeah.
Like, because I was a kid and didn't have the maturity level to understand exactly what was going on. Then as an adult, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I actually was assaulted, or I was a victim of this or that. So the fact that you're trying to, you know, force people to come out and say something who, again, are not a part of this particular era, allow them grace to say what they need to say when they need to say it, or even if they need to say
it. Also,
anything.
One victim coming out shouldn't need other people to corroborate that story.
Right.
If this person's coming and telling their truth and making a whole documentary series about it, mm-hmm. yeah, that's it. And if other people who have very similar experiences or need and feel the need to share mm-hmm. that information when it comes out, sure, why not? That's your truth.
Exactly.
But we don't need to be like, well, what did you feel? No.
Why aren't you saying anything?
There's an 8-part series about it. Go watch it. Exactly. Tells you all you fucking need to know. I think it's just also this like casual social media intimate experience mm-hmm. everyone thinks they deserve to be like up close and personal with everyone and all these famous people, and they don't you're not entitled to that.
But I think also too, it's to kind of play the devil's advocate, I think also too, celebrities shot themselves in the foot with trying to be more relatable and not having a boundary of, I'm gonna be relatable in this bubble, you don't get to come outside of this bubble. Right. I'm only here for you. Like, just like Beyonce, she'll peek out, give you what you need, and go on back in. Sade, same thing. Peek mm-hmm. out, give you what you need. But then when you're sitting on live with people all day long.
Live is crazy, like, to me.
I hate that.
If I was
a feature.
Celebrity, I would never go live. Never show my house. I love an AD, like an Architectural Digest tour. Yeah. I would never show my home.
No, I wouldn't either. Mm-mm.
No.
It's going to be a green screen every time.
Yeah, there's some things that you just aren't allowed to see.
Yeah. True. Well, even too in social media news this past week, Amanda Seals is kind of going back on just relatability and whatnot. Amanda Seals, this is an Amanda Seals stan podcast. Okay. Do you know who Amanda Seals is?
I watch Insecure. I know Amanda Seals.
Okay. First of all, I think it's hilarious that that's where you know Amanda Seals from, is Insecure.
What should I know Amanda Seals from?
Well, it's just because your age. That's why.
Oh, well, yeah.
From so many. She was also on Nickelodeon. years ago. She's a child actor.
Yeah.
Actress, I guess. Actress, whatever. She acted on it as a child. Anyway, she was co-host of The Real, all that kind of stuff. She was in a lot of things. Anyway, on MTV, when they used to do like those interviews and stuff like that.
You
of, like,
got the social good world. MTV. I got I like Teen Mom MTV and Jersey Shore MTV. That was my MTV.
Like trashy. I got the good MTV.
The fade out where it wasn't music anymore. It was just like, how can we get more viewers? Because cable's a thing.
Exactly.
So.
Well, she came out. Came out on her social media, I think it was a week before last, and she was talking about how she was very disappointed, and I'm paraphrasing, she was very disappointed with the fact that she, as a Black woman, does so much work for Black people specifically, but also people of color, and how even in these Black spaces specifically, how she is not invited in these Black spaces. So even like, for example, you know, the Essence Women Luncheon and all that kind of stuff, or Women in Essence and, you know, BET Awards and Image Awards and all this other kind of stuff, even though she hosted the BET Awards in 2020 in her house when we were all on lockdown, and she's still not invited into these spaces. And so of course people were flooded her comment section about, oh, it's because you got so much drama, every time drama just follow you and da 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 da, and all that kind of bullshit. So in her comment section, Essence magazine, like the Essence, put in her comments, you know, Amanda Seals, we are here for you, like, let us know how we can better support you. Mm-hmm. Right, that's what they did from their official page. 3 days later, somebody on their team, I wouldn't dare call her journalist, I don't know, because I don't know what her credentials are.
Real
journalism is just dead at this point. She literally writes an op-ed about Amanda Seals is just not likable, and even if you're good at your job, sometimes if you're just not likable, people won't accept you and all this bullshit. And I'm just like, what? Then the griot wrote, another person wrote an op-ed about Amanda Seals' likability, and oh, she's complaining about not being liked, and you know, we've heard rumors from her co-stars. And I'm like, who has said stuff about Amanda Seals on Insecure?
I loved her character on Insecure. I'd ride behind Tiffany.
But I'm just saying, like,
I don't think I've heard anything.
What does likability have to do with you being accepted into Black space? At the end of the day, I don't have to like you to understand the value of what you bring to helping our culture.
Do you think it's because, I don't want to say controversial in a negative way, I just think her content, like, she's very forthcoming with her opinions, mm-hmm. and stands on her business and is very verbal about things that she sees, and do you feel like people think that's controversial and don't want her in those spaces?
I do. I think people don't like when people are educated, highly educated and intelligent.
Yeah, she won't back down from shit.
But also too, this woman has a master's degree in African American studies. You cannot argue about or debate someone about their level of expertise. I did not say that you cannot learn from somebody who is not in your level of expertise. I said you cannot actively debate someone who is an expert in their field. You could never debate me about physical therapy because you're not a physical therapist.
True.
You didn't study to become a physical therapist. You didn't take the licensure exam to be a physical therapist. Just like I can't tell you about occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. And so I think people get into these spaces, and because they're just like, oh my gosh, she's always talking, she always got something to say. Yeah, because she's an actual activist versus your faves who just keep spoon feeding you this bullshit and never challenging your intellect. And that's part of the problem. And I think that's why people don't like Amanda Seals, is because she tells the truth. There are things that Amanda Seals posts that I don't agree with. Some of her opinions that I don't agree with. Do I get my ass in the comments? I just need you to know, Amanda, no. I don't agree with you. And I can still disagree with her opinion and still support her. The fact that she has used her platform as a person in the entertainment industry to talk about racial injustices, to talk about genocide, to bring about all those things. And also too, she holds her own people accountable. She's not just on social media talking about white people are evil, or this person is evil, Israel is evil, da 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 da. She calls out Joe Biden. She calls out Black leaders who are not doing things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's like a person who is just like, oh my God, why every time we get around, you got to talk about politics and stuff, because this shit is real and you want to live in a fucking bubble.
Also, that's what's important to her. That's right. Her shtick. That's her thing. That's what people who follow her for. And you know what? Take what serves you and leave the rest.
She has a whole podcast. She has a whole like business, Smart, Funny, and Black, that celebrates and uplifts Black culture. Mm-hmm. She is not one, you know, just a one-sided, a one-trick pony. She's multifaceted.
She's also been in the business forever.
She's been in the business since she was a kid. So this person who, again, she, no, nobody cares if you like Amanda Seals or not. she's still speaking truth, whether you like the source.
She doesn't really care if you like her or not.
She doesn't. But also, too, I feel like the fact that these, and it's, and the sadder part is that these three different things that were written about her in Essence, the Griot, and the Root were all from black women specifically.
Oh.
And I'm just like, this is the work that she's trying to do by, again, bringing black women together, trying to advocate for black people in black spaces, but specifically as a black woman. And then you got other black women like, well, I know that sometimes when I may talk aggressive, or people may perceive it as aggressive. Girl, we don't care nothing about your raggedy ass story about your life. But why you got to bring Amanda Seals into bullshit?
Mm-hmm.
She's articulate enough to be able to tell her own story. She don't need you to talk on her behalf. Like, I just don't understand how you, again, Essence, you legit just put in this girl's comments, we are here to support you. And then 3 days later, you release an op-ed dissing her. Like, come on.
Well, maybe this is her time when everyone's going to rally behind her and we're going to catapult her.
I mean, I have seen a lot of people say stuff like this. One girl, she posted, and I like her content. There's things I disagree with her about, too. Mm-hmm. I think her name is Blue Centric or something like that. And she posted, and I'm paraphrasing, she posted, because I'm also not a journalist, Scott, so I don't care to get her thoughts right. Journalism is dead. Anyway, so she posted and said, you know, I think we all need to rally behind Amanda, da 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 da. And then she says at the end, you know, Amanda's not perfect. No one is. Why did you have to put that? It's the most backhanded type of support, pseudo support ever. I hate when people say, you know, I love my husband. Now, he ain't perfect, but he's perfect for me. How did that state? You just devalued your husband by making that one statement of
just
saying he's not perfect. We know that. That's not. Anyway.
I know I just said real journalism is dead, but do you ever listen to the Serial podcast? Have you ever listened to that?
Serial?
Uh-huh.
Like about actual serial? Or like
no,
a serial
like
killer?
Serial killer, but not serial.
Like, no, I don't listen to that.
It's spelled serial, but it's not.
The blood of Jesus. I don't want to listen to that.
No, it's a true crime podcast. It's not about serial killers, but like the first season they did was about Adnan Syed, the guy who, when he was a teenager, they thought he killed his girlfriend, and he's been in jail this whole time and maintained his innocence.
Yes.
Okay, it's that podcast. Every season they do a different case.
Okay.
This is season four. The most recent one is about Quantico.
Mm.
It is so interesting. That's real journalism. If you are interested in any kind of true crime stuff at all, it's just about what Quantico was, and then after 9/11, what it turned into. And they interview a bunch of people who were there and lived mm-hmm. there, and how crazy it is that they just have all of these prisoners, right, that mm-hmm. they're trying to get information out of. But everyone who lives on that island is like, I don't know, 18 to 30 in the military, mm-hmm. just kind of fucking around in this beautiful place. It's so wacky and very interesting. And it's good journalism.
Oh, I was like, where did that story go? Okay, you were talking about journalism.
Like, journalism's dead. But I'm like, no, well, these girls really did their thing on
and
that.
And the thing is, I was not a journalism major, but I do have friends who have graduated with bachelor's degrees in journalism. And I just remember even having conversations with them, is that the questions that you ask as a journalist is not just for clickbait. It's to provoke thought and to view different perspectives and all that kind of stuff. Along with a bunch of other things. Right. But it's even just like with Gayle King, when she made the comment about Kobe Bryant and the rape allegations that, you know, were proven to be false, right? Or to be proven to be that he was innocent or whatever. And the fact that you bring it up at his death with some, like, the case has already been solved.
Mm-hmm.
So you bringing that up is not journalism. You're being a blogger now at this point. And I'm not trying to, you know, say anything negative about bloggers, but at the same time,
just about Gayle King.
But specifically because she knows better.
Yeah.
She's an actual journalist who actually has a degree in journalism. And you should understand at the most basic rate of journalism, what that actually means and why you got the backlash that you got.
Mm-hmm.
Even for Oprah, you are a journalist. And so I think that's why Oprah's, even her success was so amazing, because she asked not questions that people just wanted to know, the clickbait stuff. She was able to go further in depth in her interview process.
Yeah.
And again, to provoke thought, to give a different perspective. And everybody is giving these think pieces who have never taken a writing or a journalism class whatsoever. Now, the three people who wrote these articles, I don't know what your background is. I don't really give a shit. All I'm saying is your opinion about Amanda Seals did not add value to the conversation. All
yes.
you did was provoke more hatred toward this black woman who had already stated that she did not feel supported or felt she felt like there was slight against her in the industry, and all you did was exacerbate it. You inflamed it. For clicks. Not, you could have brought up any other situation. You could have brought up a movie. I don't give a damn. But the fact that you capitalized and you jumped on her already saying what she had an issue with, and then you took that as a moment to say, you know what? I know people going to click on this because people already hate Amanda Seale, so I'm going to go ahead and put this out. And you, again, you started back up the hate train. So it wasn't valuable. It wasn't journalism at all. And it damn sure wasn't valuable.
What do we say at the end of every episode? Spread love and light. Y'all are spreading hate. And we don't appreciate that.
It's just stupid. It's so dumb. I'll tell you what else is dumb.
Yeah.
These discussions on DEI. So if you all don't know what DEI is, it's diversity, inclusion, and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And of course, DEI basically has been under attack recently. Pretty much everything that will allow Black people and Black voices to be heard and be in spaces of equal value with our white counterparts who continue to show us that they hate us. Anyway, there's been so much that has been happening politically with DEI, where a lot of states are trying to get rid of it. DEI jobs and whatnot, and positions, even on the university level, the educational level, all that kind of stuff, banning it and all that, because they're saying, oh, it's not equal. Baby, that's what the E is in DEI. If you, the E stands for equality, equity. You can say equity or you can say equality, but I'm just gonna say both, equity and equality. But it's absolutely insane that we're having these conversations about DEI as if the reason for these particular things are because people of color were not given opportunities to be in the same spaces as white counterparts. Like, I just need people to Google the definition. It's like the whole definition of woke. People love to say, first of all, it's a slang term that a lot of Black people have used. And then they turn it, oh, this woke culture. You can't even explain what the hell woke means. Well, you know, woke. I love
when white people say woke.
Oh my God, it's the most annoying thing. I had one patient.
I love when they say Karen now too, because I'm like, it's not even what you think it is anymore.
Don't be a Karen.
I'm like, you saying Karen is the most Karen shit.
Chad. But it was so funny. I had this one patient, and we were talking, and he was just like, you know, yeah, like with affirmative action, I never thought affirmative action was really great.
You wouldn't.
You wouldn't, sir, because you've never been discriminated against. You've always had a foot in the door, and not only a foot in the door, a seat at the goddamn table, and somebody gave your ass a table.
If you have never been sexually harassed in the workplace, you would think that there's no reason to have a clause in your contract that says you cannot be sexually harassed in the workplace, because it's never happened to you. So why would you have to worry about it? That's crazy that y'all put that there.
We're all on the same playing field. No, we're not. This is like, well, I just think it's racist for HBCUs to be in existence.
I love that when people say shit.
And I'm just like, okay, I just want you to take one PWI and see when they were created versus when HBCUs were created. And ask yourself, and just Google, people got denied for college because they were Black.
Also, you have everything else. It's okay for people of color to have these small spaces for them in this world that was not built for them or by them.
There's even this creator on TikTok. She, dang, I wish I had her name, but the story just popped in my head. She makes jewelry, handbags and whatnot. And I actually bought a pair of earrings from her. And they're like in the shape of the continent Africa, because it's not a country. It is definitely a continent.
Yes.
Anyway, and so she has like, you know, the Black fist kind of going up and everything. And so these white women are always in her comments talking about, you know, I was going to support you, but the fact that you said that you make your jewelry for Black women. Well, hey, Katie, here's the thing. Why would you as a white woman want Africa earrings or a fist doing like that?
Okay,
you don't even know what it means.
Here's my question. Okay. So say you had a white coworker, right, who followed this person and wanted to be supportive of her. And so they purchased like some earrings or something. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, it'd be fucking weird if I wore these. And was like, hey, Monica, I bought these from someone on Instagram that I really like. And I thought you should have them. And it was like a Black fist.
I wouldn't be offended.
You wouldn't be offended?
If we got along, I wouldn't be offended. But if you were somebody that I really didn't like and we didn't get along as coworkers and you bought me that shit, I'd be like, I'm going to HR.
I'm just trying to think, because like, I think she is that.
White, is this a real story?
No, oh. I'm just thinking white women can support Black business, even though the business isn't made for you. You don't need to wear this or be a part of it, but you can still show support by purchasing it.
Exactly.
But you, I'm trying to think how I would respond if some woman, a white woman at work, was like, here, I bought this Black Power necklace mm-hmm. and you can have it.
Yeah.
I'd That's just like what even, the fuck?
I had a physician at the place we used to work. He is Southeast Asian. And he ended up giving me a Black Lives Matter pin. He just came up to me. We weren't even having a conversation. I just spoke to him. I was like, hey, good morning. How you doing? Mm-hmm. And he was like, I want to give you something. And I was like, okay. He gave me the pin and just said Black Lives Matter. To me, that was kind of like an unspoken, like, I support you. You know what I mean? Like, I support Black people. And I was like, thank you so much. And he actually had a pin on his coat himself. And he bought me another one. I didn't ask for it. Never. I mean, I just saw it before. And I was like, oh, you know, like your pin. Months later, he ended up just giving me one. So wow. I wouldn't take offense to that. But it's exactly what you said. Just because things are not made specifically for you does not mean that you can't still support it. You know what I mean? And it's mm-hmm. like, if you don't have to tell me you ain't supporting me. Why do you have to put in the comments, was going to follow you. However, your thoughts on this is not right. Unfollow. Just leave.
That's like, what if I had some kind of disability and I saw a gap in the market and I started making a product and I said, I make this product specifically for the people like me.
Exactly.
If y'all said some shit, it'd be fucked up and everyone would be like, you were ableist.
Yeah, but then you do it for Black people and it's like, you're racist. Okay, that's like right now. Now, I'm a supporter of Palestine, right? And I am a totally against the genocide that is happening from the terrorists in Israel, right? And so I think it's called, I don't want to mess it up. I think it's called a keffiyeh, which is a scarf that the Palestinians mm-hmm. wear. It's white and black. Now, I've purchased one online, right? Now, I don't wear it because I don't have enough understanding about what it actually means and whatnot. I just know that that's a part of their cultural garb, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's offensive to wear it. But for me, I purchased it from a small business because they are supporting sending aid to Gaza, right? So I purchased it. Just because I purchased it doesn't mean I have to wear it. Right. I don't have to give it away. But my dollars are going toward that.
Right.
Now, on the flip side of that, you know, Starbucks or Kellogg's is supporting genocide, right? Allegedly. I'm just saying that for the protection of us. Anyway, and so I purposefully don't purchase those items because mm-hmm. I'm not in support of what they are doing. Now, I go to Walmart every day. Walmart could definitely be, you know, supporting genocide. Right now, I'm not going to HEB.
You're doing what you can.
I'm doing what I can. You know what I'm saying? Doing what you can. But at the same time, I just feel like, you know, you can support without telling me.
Yes.
You can support without telling me. And you like, can also unfollow.
Like the rich white people.
Thank you.
Who just give their money and shut the fuck up so they don't get in trouble.
Yo. I really want to, speaking of shut the fuck up. It's going to be kind of controversial, but Lizzo, baby, I love Lizzo. Okay. Lizzo, this is a Lizzo stan podcast.
It has been, and it will
and
be.
And it will always be. Let me just tell you something, Lizzo.
It's about damn time.
I know you came out and said you quit, and then you were talking about you quit, not music, but
stop
just about
justifying.
Just Lizzo, I need you to hire me as your PR baby. I know you got people already in your team, but I need for you to hire me as your PO. This is me manifesting being Lizzo's PR. Baby, I need you just to hush. I need you to hush. Truly. I need you to make music. I need you to get online, shake your ass. I need you to make your yitty. I need you to stop reading the comments above all. I really want all celebrities. Stop
you
arguing with people
account,
in the comments.
Hand your Instagram over.
But it just messes with your mental health because you'll read these comments. And I know as a human being, it's not easy to not read the comments. You want to mm-hmm. know what people are saying because there's so much positive that's happening in the comments. The problem is y'all keep focusing on the negative shit and that overpowers everything else. You could have 11,000 comments and 10,995 may be positive. And mm-hmm. then you overshadow all those comments from with the five negatives.
That's
stop
the human
doing
brain.
That.
It's a wild place. I just think the more you give, the more people are going to want. And the way she keeps coming back and validating things and giving more
thing.
Detail. Yeah. I'm just like, girl, just stop. Let it go. They'll get the fuck over it. If put out another album. We'll all forget what's going on.
But the thing is, there's nothing even to talk about at this point. These people put allegations out on her. She in turn sued them and it's still in the court system or it's not. Who gives a fuck? Make mm-hmm. the music. We, baby, people are going
to
support you no matter what.
I'd love to shake my ass to a Lizzo album this summer.
There are still R. Kelly supporters. There are still, I don't want to say his name because I'm a supporter. I ain't going to say it. It ain't Diddy. I'm not a Diddy supporter.
Is it Diddy?
No,
it's Sean Combs.
No, I'm not a Bill Cosby supporter, but I am going to still watch the Cosby Show.
Well,
and I'm still going to listen to my R. Kelly albums, not stream it. I'm going to listen to the albums because I actually bought them. That's all I'm saying. And in the privacy of my own home. Okay.
I refuse to let that man come over a speaker in my vicinity.
He made some good music.
I refuse.
Again,
that's a hill I will die on. And this is coming from the biggest Kanye stan.
You still want to go to a Diddy party, so your decisions are questionable.
I have no ground to stand on, but for some reason, R. Kelly's where I draw the line.
Again, I'm not going to stream it. I listened because I purchased with my own money before those allegations came out years ago with compact discs. Okay.
All right.
So I'm saying I will still listen to it because I like the music to a degree. Anyway, all I'm saying is, Lizzo, I just need you to stop reading the comments, baby, because it's playing with your mental health. For all celebrities, stop reading the comments. Even for Oprah. Oprah, if your ass wouldn't be reading the comments, you wouldn't know people was calling you a bobblehead with the Ozempic. Stop reading the comments.
I will say, I don't know what Lizzo's doing, but she looks great.
She got her ass on social media for a while and stopped reading the comments.
When she posted that video recently, coming back to explain why she said that she was quitting, I was like, you look great. I don't know if it was her makeup or something. I don't know. She looked great.
She looks refreshed.
Yeah, maybe
like she's had a chance to just be around people that love her.
That's probably why she probably got off for a while, came back, was refreshed. And she was like, I have time today.
Yeah.
And then fucking typed her little shit. And then she was like, God dang it, back where I started.
She got her social battery, charged back up. What were you talking about, Jonathan Majors?
Jonathan Majors is, first of all, do we think he's still dating Megan Good?
That shit ain't real, allegedly.
I don't believe it.
They don't look like they like each other.
He is still trying to get his charges dropped in his case of him allegedly abusing his then girlfriend. Because I think he's about to get sentenced, and the court said absolutely not.
Do you think they'll actually sentence him to jail?
I don't know how the jail system work. How the justice system
the
works.
Jail system?
The jail system. I
think jail system and the justice system are two different things.
I just love all these pictures of him in hats. It's really funny. I'm not sure, but I think tomorrow is his sentencing. Third degree reckless assault and harassment.
That's third degree.
How many degrees are there? Three?
Fourth degree. I think, or is it fourth degree?
He was trying to get it thrown out, and they said no.
Here's the thing, though, too. How can he harass if he's running away? Now, obviously, there were other things that happened. I understand that. But I hope he countersues her. I really do.
He faces up to a year in jail.
That is stupid.
But I wonder if... also, I didn't know that week in jail was a thing.
Yeah.
Until Risa Tisa's story. Is that her name?
Risa Tisa.
Isn't that her name? The long TikTok thing?
Yeah. Why? Who the fuck did I marry?
Yeah.
Weekend jail is a real thing.
I didn't know you could just go to jail on the weekends and then fucking come back out.
People got full-time jobs. Especially if it's nothing like egregious.
Yeah, you know. That's crazy.
You can't kill nobody and go to weekend jail. That ain't how that works.
Can you imagine?
You can't sexually assault somebody and that's
Did I tell you about my inmate patient who was faking a stroke?
Allegedly.
I won't say faking. I will say he was testing inconsistently.
Thank you. I was going to say, please don't say faking.
It wasn't fake. He was testing inconsistently. Mm-hmm. And do you know how hard it is to prove that someone is actually has movement or strength when they're fucking shackled to everything?
That's the one thing I do hate about, like, prisoners coming to hospitals.
It's so hard.
And I get it that they're in jail or prison. I totally get that. And I understand the safety precautions that come with that. But as a healthcare clinician, and it doesn't happen very often. Like it's a rarity that it happens. But when it does, it's like, can you take the shackles off?
Especially so they can flaccid arm.
That's what I'm saying.
And I also understand.
I can do one side at a time.
I appreciate the protocols in place because I know they are for the safety of me and for others.
Right.
But I cannot do my job when this 400-pound man with a flaccid arm and leg is shackled both arms and both feet. What am I supposed to do?
I'm like, can I have released one side or one limb at a time? Can we at least do that? Because I get it that this person has committed a crime and is now a ward of the state or whatever, or property of the state. I totally get that. But at the same time, they are still a human being who requires high level quality of care, just like I give to everybody else. And it's not fair that I can't do my assessment because you got them all shackled. Now, if they have a tendency to try to bite people, yes, keep them shackled, but, or do one at a time. I don't know.
What I will say about this patient is he did have a stroke. Mm-hmm. The funny way that his stroke was presenting was that he was completely flaccid on one side, arm and leg. He was aphasic, so he could not speak, but he could, I guess more dysarthric, but he could mouth the words and he could use almost like completely cognizant hand gestures mm-hmm. and sign language, mm-hmm. which I don't know if you know anything about strokes, but usually if you're having problems getting the words out in it, like you usually can't do complete sign language if you're presenting the way that he was presenting. Mm-hmm. Just weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you tell them like, hey, we can't give you any food to because you're having issues swallowing, you're having mm-hmm. issues speaking, so you can't, you still can't eat. We got to take some time to get speech in here. Mm-hmm. Guess what happens?
He asked for it?
Speech clears up.
Oh. Well, I mean, you know, when maybe it was a TIA. Where was a stroke? You don't remember?
No. But this strokes is like...
Strokes recover fast. Some.
Mm-hmm.
Not all, but some.
Not this man. Completely fast on the side. Shackled. Brings his food up to his mouth, both arms. I said, sir. It was just not testing consistently at all. It was just a long journey with that one.
Yeah.
Then the guards, and I understand being a guard. I don't know. Actually, being a guard for an inmate in the hospital is probably a chill job.
Because, it's boring as fuck.
Yeah.
It's,
but you're just kind of there. They can't really do anything. They're in the bed. You're just kind of making sure they don't do anything crazy.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
They do some crazy shit.
They do.
But I'm like.
Not the guards, but the inmates.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. But I'm like this. So this. True. This particular patient, very chill man. Mm-hmm. Very chill, mm-hmm. polite, kind. Who knows what he did? I don't know. I'm just there to do my job. These guards were such assholes every time we would go in there. Mm-hmm. So rude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't do anything. I'm just here to do my job.
Well, I mean, that's just the culture, unfortunately, in prison systems and jail systems. And I only know that because I worked in at a jail. And, you know, it's unfortunate that men and women who are in jail and who are in prison are dehumanized at such a great level. And it sucks because it's like, I get it that they committed a crime. However, we are all one decision away from committing a crime and being on the other side of that, you know, that steel wall. And so I just feel like I would speak out. Good morning, maybe don't talk to her. Whoa. Whoa. They're going to get mad at me. And I spoke. Now, I get it. They do it for protocol reasons because, again, you have to separate. But also, too, I just feel like, you know, you've seen those stories of inmates where the one CO is like having a heart attack. And then all the prisoners come over there and help save your life. See, if you'll be nicer, if you have a heart attack, they'll help save your life. Versus be like, I hope you die, bitch. You know what I mean? It's like they are still human beings who deserve to be talked to with respect, and they deserve to be talked to and dealt with dignity. Like, I get it. They committed a crime. But goddamn, they're still human.
I know. This one guard was just being so, like, ignored. We were trying to get the patient moved up in bed. Mm-hmm. We were asking if we could get him unshackled, just anything we could do. The guards are ignoring us, and when they are paying attention to us, they're just being very dismissive and rude. And so, finally, I was trying to come out of the room. The guard started moving. Well, they all have these big lunch boxes full of snacks mm-hmm. because they're there for so long.
Yeah.
And so, his lunch box tipped over, and all his snacks fell because I was trying to move something back, and he was trying to get out of the way, and he was like, my snacks! I was like, good. I'm glad your snacks fell.
That's why your snacks fell, bitch. Maybe you should be
nice. Nice job. Yeah.
But, I mean, I think, too, it's just like, you know, some police officers, they're already with, you know, trigger happy because, mm-hmm. you know, of experiences, or they're just afraid. Because most people are actually afraid of prisoners, I would believe.
That would make sense.
I mean, I was afraid of them to a degree because I'm just like, you can jump on me at any point in time.
And that's true.
And baby, I can't fight back from no prisoner. I'd be
like, ah!
Baby, you get caught in the Sally Port with some of them. And baby.
I don't stand a chance.
You'd be like, hi.
What's your name?
And I worked there for a year. And I was just like, once I got behind them padded doors, if I heard them too loud or something, I'm like, oh, Lord. I just, in my brain, I was like, one day something's going to happen where they're going to overtake this jail and I'm going to die.
And
I'm too far from the front door.
That's a scary fucking thought. Also, these people, I feel like a lot of them are just like physically intimidating.
Yeah. And this was a male prison that I worked at. Yeah. I did not work at a female jail. No. Not a prison, sorry. I worked at a male jail. It was not a female jail. It was a male jail. So, yeah.
I just watched that HBO show, God Bless Texas. Mm. It just talks about different places in Texas and kind of the culture and history. And they go to Huntsville. Have you ever been to Huntsville?
Only Huntsville I know is Huntsville, Alabama.
So there's a Huntsville here and it has the prison.
Oh, okay.
And so it just kind of talks about like the people who live there and how do you feel growing up with the prison and da 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 and like life there with all of these, you know, criminals, quote unquote criminals, and everyone there works for the like all of these things. Mm-hmm. And it was just very interesting to hear like the kids growing up there and how they feel and all of that stuff. And like, that's your life mm-hmm. being in those small towns.
Yeah.
The prison. Anyway, good series if anyone wants to watch it.
Yeah. Also, too, I'll tell you something else that's good that is sad that it's good that it wasn't done before. Anyway.
Are you okay?
I was trying to get my thoughts out. But so I don't know if y'all know remember this from like some episodes eons ago where we were talking about how most states in the United States, it is not illegal for medical students to practice pelvic exams on women under anesthesia without their consent. It is completely legal for a lot of states in the United States for medical students to practice mm-hmm. pelvic exams under anesthesia.
Which we thought was crazy.
Which we thought was absolutely insane and disgusting and just breaches privacy. And oh my God, women have no fucking rights in this goddamn country. Anyway, so this past week, the Health and Human Services, or HHS, actually released a letter saying that they are pursuing... and that they're changing the rules and regulations with regard to that physicians and doctors will require either written or verbal consent. And if it is verbal, then it has to be documented, rigorously that it was an actual verbal consent for medical students to practice pelvic exams on women under anesthesia.
Can you imagine your professor telling you to do that?
First of all, the fact that that's even legal.
I know.
And could you imagine as a patient waking up and you're like, mm-hmm. I came in for a shoulder and my vagina hurts.
Yeah.
That is so, that to me, or that should be sexual assault.
Being in
honestly.
An operating room and your professor's like, okay, yeah, no, this is what you need to do. And
that's
I'd be like,
sexual
absolutely
assault.
Absolutely not.
I don't care if it is for learning. You,
no.
I just got mad. You cannot convince me that doing pelvic exams on women without consent under anesthesia, that is fucking rape. It is sexual fucking assault.
It's disgusting.
And the fact that nobody saw... Whew, let me calm down. Whew, Jesus, I just got mad. I got enraged.
I had to be a witness for a rectal exam for a patient last week. That was the most awkward shit in my life.
I used to work for OBGYN, right? Mm-hmm. For a couple of years. And when they did certain procedures like colposcopies and stuff like that, where you had to assist the physician and just passing her, you know, stuff. You weren't actually in there doing anything. But also, too, they would always have a witness for certain situations. Mm-hmm. And in male GYNs would also have an assistant, because I used to work like, what do they call it? Moonlight with one of the a male physician, a male GYN. And so anytime he went in and did pelvic exams or whatever, he would always say, oh, can I have a witness to come in here? Blah, blah, blah.
Can I get a witness?
And you're just standing in the corner and, you know, you don't say anything or whatever. You just stand in the corner and just, you know, he's doing his pelvic exam on the patient or doing a PAP or whatever the case may be. But I just feel like the fact that medical school, I mean, why do we expect medical schools to be ethical? I mean, they used to teach their kids or used to teach their students that black people don't feel pain. So why the fuck? And the only reason why we have advancements in gynecology right now is because they practice white racist men practice on black women without anesthesia for years. So I guess I really shouldn't expect shit from these fuck ass people anyway.
But now you can't do it legally.
Well, it still has to go on the state side. So
why is that? If that that
should be a no fucking brand. Yeah. I bet you can't practice dick exams without consent. Y'all always protecting y'all limp ass penises, but y'all just, oh, Lord Jesus.
You know, there's some white men right now who's like, why do we need this bill to be passed? Never happened to me.
Never happened to me. Nobody's ever grabbed my penis and shoved a Q-tip down it.
Well, I was under anesthesia.
Hell, if I would have known, I would have had a good old time with that. Give me a little blue pill.
Ooh.
Fucking bastards from hell. Anyway, anything else we need to talk about? Were you going to talk about the North Carolina lymphoma? Anything else we need to talk about? What are you watching?
The inside of my eyelids is asleep.
Okay,
that sounds I haven't been watching jack diddle. I've been rewatching The Sopranos.
That's old. Okay,
I know, just, you know,
wow,
little comfort show.
You trying to kill somebody?
Maybe.
All right,
bitch, I might be. And
just implicated yourself.
Oops.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell, it's a podcast secret.
I cannot.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've been watching. Give me a second. It's going to come.
5, 6, 7, 8.
No, I've been at home this weekend and my brother keeps wanting to watch The Chosen. Did you ever watch that series? Mm-mm. It's about Jesus. He's going through something. I think it's because it was just Easter. Which, like, it's a beautiful
what
series.
Is it on?
Amazon Prime, maybe.
Okay, it doesn't matter. I'm not gonna watch it.
I know, don't. It's well done. It's like, it is the depiction of stories of the Bible. It is very good and well made, and mm-hmm. all the people are actually like brown, which mm-hmm. is nice.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, this is like an Easter thing we want. I don't know. He's really continued it. So he's on the right path. But
that's cool.
That's really what we've been watching. What about you?
The only thing I've watched this week is Origin. I finally finished it, which was written and directed by Ava DuVernay, stars Ajahnue Ellis-Taylor, and it is about the it is the movie based on the book Cast by Isabel Wilkerson.
Like Cast with an E?
Yes, Cast with an E. And it talks about basically the cast system. And she actually won a Pulitzer Prize for her book on, can't remember the name. It wasn't Cast, though. It was another book about like the Holocaust and stuff like that. Anyway, and so basically this movie, first of all, the movie was 2 hours and 20 minutes. I did not realize that I was sitting for 2 hours and 20 minutes watching this movie. Yes, and it did not feel like I was watching a movie for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Well, that's good.
Ava DuVernay, I just need to give Ava DuVernay her flowers, okay? Ava DuVernay is an absolutely amazing writer and director. And the way that this woman is able to translate what's in her brain to get us to see her same depth of view is genius to me. And I don't think we talk enough about that. The way that she is able to invoke, I have never cried on a movie so much. Oh my God.
Where did you watch this?
Last night.
On your iPad?
No, on my TV.
Was it Netflix, Amazon?
It's on Amazon Prime. It came out in theaters. It wasn't a whole lot of theaters that it came out in because of, you know, people not wanting the truth to be told. But anyway, it is on Amazon Prime. And so I watched it and I paid for it and to watch it. And
You paid for it?
Well, because I wanted to give her the support. Because again, I can support you and not have to tell you, you know? So I did pay for the movie. I just wanted to watch it at my house. Anywho, so this was, to me, one of the most prolific movies. And Ajahnue Ellis-Taylor, that lady is a powerhouse. I mean, we love to talk about Viola Davis and Angela Bassett and Regina King and how amazing these women are as like triple threats. To me, y'all need to be putting Ajahnue Ellis-Taylor on the same platform as Viola Davis. Her acting is genius. It glues you to the screen. The way that she's able to make you feel what she is feeling. I don't understand why this woman has not won an Oscar yet. It's so freaking annoying. But anyway, those two powerhouses of Ava DuVernay and Ajahnue Ellis-Taylor, one for the books. And y'all have to go watch this movie. It is absolutely, and it came out in January, so I'm a little late. I know, but I am been watching TV also because life has been life. And however, it was an absolutely amazing movie. Audrey McDonald is in there. She makes an appearance. Niecy Nash is actually in it as well,
too. We love a Niecy Nash. We
love a Niecy Nash. Niecy Nash plays Ajahnue Ellis's cousin in the movie. Mm-hmm. And the guy from The Walking Dead, who was really technically Rick's wife's baby daddy. Anyway, he did a great job in the movie, too. But, so I watch Origin. So if y'all have a chance, please, please, please go and watch Origin. Just the genius that is Ava DuVernay is is written all over that film. And again, the way she was able to bring that together, it was amazing.
I love that guy. John Bernthal. This guy.
Oh, the guy, Rick's ex best friend.
Yes.
He turned into a zombie and they killed him. Mm-hmm. From The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
He could be a good villain, but he was a great, like, good guy in this film.
He plays a bad guy really well.
No, he surprised me with his how, because he plays Ajahnue Ellis's husband in the movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He is. Did you ever watch The Bear?
No.
He's the brother in The Bear, and he does a really good job. He's sweet.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Anything else we need to talk about before we get out of here?
Nope.
Since you're yawning. All right, y'all. Well, thank y'all so much for tuning in to another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. We appreciate it. Y'all have an amazing week on purpose. Y'all please be careful with this whole solar eclipse stuff. Y'all know people are crazy. And they say, I don't know who they is, but they say traffic gonna be bad. So just be careful.
They're saying it for sure.
Be very, very careful out there, y'all, this week. Y'all have an amazing week on purpose. And y'all remember to spread love.
Spread light.
And don't forget to laugh your face off.
Oh,
don't you press. You almost cut our whole episode off. I was like, girl, that's how you know we haven't been in the same room for a long time. And the wrong way, but make sure. I'm gonna put on a thing on that says, press me, yeah. Not me.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at The Face Off Pod. Be sure to tune in to The Face Off every Tuesday when new episodes are released.